Welcome to Praying the Psalms, a daily podcast by Doxa Church in Madison, Wisconsin. As the church finds itself isolated from one another physically, we are reading, studying, and praying the Psalms together each morning as a way to join ourselves together spiritually. We want to slow down, get a bigger picture of God, and hopefully a more clear picture of ourselves. Most of all, though, we want to join ourselves together around the throne of the one who has joined himself to us. So if you haven't already, grab a Bible and spend some time prayerfully reading Psalm 135. You might notice that it has a lot of similarities to Psalm 115. As I was studying and prepping for it, I thought, I feel like I just did this psalm recently. And sure enough, it's very, very similar. Matthew Henry, in his commentary on this psalm, wisely tells us to take all occasions to speak well of God and to give his truths and ways a good word. Let's notice how its author does just that, and how we can learn from his example and have praise become more of a lifestyle for each of us. Psalm 135 says, "Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Give praise, O servants of the Lord, who stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing to his name, for it is pleasant. For the Lord has chosen Jacob for himself, Israel as his own possession. For I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatever the Lord pleases, he does, in heaven and on earth, in the seas and all deeps. He it is who makes the clouds rise at the end of the earth, who makes lightnings for the rain, and brings forth the wind from his storehouses. He it was who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, both of man and of beast, who was in your midst, O Egypt, who in your midst, O Egypt, sent signs and wonders against Pharaoh and all his servants, who struck down many nations and killed mighty kings, Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and all the kingdoms of Canaan, and gave their land as a heritage to his people Israel. Your name, O Lord, endures forever, your renown, O Lord, throughout all ages. For the Lord will vindicate his people and have compassion on his servants. The idols of the nations are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths, but do not speak. They have eyes, but do not see. They have ears, but do not hear. Nor is there any breath in their mouths. Those who make them become like them. So do all who trust in them. O house of Israel, bless the Lord. O house of Aaron, bless the Lord. O house of Levi, bless the Lord. You who fear the Lord, bless the Lord. Blessed be the Lord from Zion, he who dwells in Jerusalem. Praise the Lord." This psalm is bookended with commands to praise and bless God. Anytime in scripture where you see repetition, just take that as a hint. Hey, pay attention. Look at this. Take note what the author is trying to say. To praise God is to give him the thanks and honor he deserves. And according to John Piper, to bless God means to recognize his richness, strength, and gracious bounty, and to express our gratitude and delight. This psalm begins with four commands to praise the Lord in the first three verses, and ends with four commands to different groups in the last three verses to bless the Lord, followed by one last emphatic command to praise the Lord. Some of the reasons we're given for praising God include the following. First, he is good. Second, it's pleasant to praise him. We're commanded to sing to him. Matthew Henry also says that it's a heaven on earth to be praising God. How often do we long for heaven on earth, but seek everywhere else but in God? I challenge you to daily pursue heaven on earth as you enjoy praising God. Thirdly, he chose Israel as his own possession. Fourth, God is great. Fifth, he's above all gods. And sixth, lastly, we can praise him because his power is great. And as a result, he does whatever he pleases in the heavens, on earth, and in the seas, and in the deeps. Many demonstrations of God's power are given next, including the ways he makes clouds rise, he makes lightning for rain, and he makes wind for his storehouses. Honestly, I'd love to just be with God when I watch him do those things. It's crazy. His power is also demonstrated through mighty wonders, overpowering and destroying nations, killing kings, and through his giving other nations his land to Israel. I'd encourage you also, anytime you're reading through the Psalms or scripture and it references another story in the Bible, take time as soon as you're able to just read that story and reflect on it and just see how the two correlate. Like, what can God teach me from this story in the context of this passage that points to that story? There's a lot of them included in this psalm. We're given the beauty of the promise that God will vindicate his people. And if he does that with Israel, we can trust that he too will vindicate us who are his children. He also promises to have compassion on his servants. What does being a servant of God look like in your life? Are you his servant? Are you in title, but maybe not in action? At Doxa Women, we've been studying the book of Jude. One of the things that stood out to me the most so far was that Jesus' half-brother, Jude, authored the book, but never once described himself as Jesus' brother. He only described himself as Jesus' bondservant. It means Jude really viewed himself as a servant to his brother. I don't know very many brothers that have that kind of a relationship, but it means Jude kept his eyes on Jesus, followed his lead, and obeyed his commands. He considered it a privilege. Our lives as God's servants should reflect that as well and be filled with praising and blessing God as this psalmist commands. Just as Psalm 115 warned us, we're once again reminded that we become like the idols we create and follow, completely helpless. What idols have you allowed to creep into your life? How are they impacting your life currently? How can repentance lead you to praise and bless God once again in the same way the author wraps up this psalm? God's name and renown will endure forever. How are you contributing to his name and renown enduring forever? I want to repeat once again what Matthew Henry said. He tells us to take all occasions to speak well of God and to give his truths and ways a good word. When your friends who are both believers and unbelievers are around you, do they have a really high view of God because of how you reflect him and the things that you say about him, or maybe even your praise and blessing? How often do you stop to meditate on God's greatness and his power, including specific evidences of both on a daily basis? Are there any areas of your life that you feel the need to vindicate yourself? God has used occasional false accusations over the years to remind me to quickly ask him what he wants me to learn from those situations. They hurt a lot, but it's so great to know that God will vindicate. I don't have to. I also need to just do a heart check and say, are there any truths to the accusations being made? Is there any repentance on my part that needs to take place? What a gift it is to know that God will vindicate me and that I don't need to do anything other than trust him, check my heart, repent where needed, pursue a life of integrity, and rest in God's character and power, even if it feels like vindication won't come until eternity. But most of all, I want to plead for people involved to be led to repentance and freed from living a life where they feel it necessary to make false accusations. Take time this weekend to write out many of the reasons you have to praise and bless God. Talk to your kids about it. Talk to your family members, your friends about it. Take time to write down ways that you've experienced God's power over the years. In Philippians 4:4-8, Paul tells us to pray about everything with thanksgiving and to dwell on what's true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, and worthy of praise. One natural way to do just that is through praising and blessing God today. Take the psalmist at his word when he says that God is good and great and that praising him is pleasant. Enjoy the lifestyle of worship that he created you to have. Please pray with me. Father, thank you so much that you are worthy of all praise. To say that you're good and that you're great just seems so, just so small in comparison to what you actually are. God, I pray that we would be a church family that is just filled with praise and blessing. God, would people just get a higher view of God, of you, when they're around us because of how we act and because of how we speak of you. God, would we have a lifestyle of worship that is just consistently meditating on who you are and in awe of all that you are. God, when the hard things happen and come, it's a gift to be able to just trust your character. And so, God, even in the dark days, would we just seek to praise you through lamenting or just changing our thinking to focus on what is true. God, we love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.